verse 1 of Romans chapter 8, which reads like this. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That the word condemnation is a legal word. See, God deals with us legally. It's a legal word. So, the word condemnation means to be judged guilty, to be sentenced for life, to be executed. That's what the word condemned means. And when you are not a Christian, that is your status before God. People don't believe that, don't think like that. They often don't feel like that, but that is their status before God. But when you become a Christian, that condemnation is taken away. And Paul writes and says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And as I said, the problem is for many people, when they hear the gospel and they hear about Christians and they go to churches and they hear about these things, they often say, well, why do I still feel guilty after I've asked Jesus to be in my life? Or why do I still feel sad sometimes? Or why do I still feel depressed? Or why is that I don't feel victorious and I don't feel forgiven and I sometimes feel lonely and I feel like I'm not part of the group and all that sort of stuff? We have all these feelings running around inside of us. We've got to be sure that we draw a distinction between being guilty and being lonely, sad, depressed, or whatever else it may be. It's the guilt that Jesus died to deal with. That's what he dealt with, you see? He died to deal with our guilt, to take away from before Almighty God the fact that we are guilty of breaking his law. So that when the great day of judgment comes and we stand before God and God says, why should I let you into my heaven? Your answer will be, because the Lord Jesus died for me and paid the price for my sins and I have no more guilt. You won't say to God, I have no more sadness, I have no more depression, I have no more other stuff. But you can say to God, I've got no more guilt. And because of what the Lord Jesus has done, God lets you into his heaven. And I'm trying to help you to understand that the reason why so many Christians feel defeated is because they mix up their feelings. So if you have a fight with somebody, that puts you into a realm of a whole lot of other feelings. You feel sorry and guilty and sad and angry and all the rest of it. But that's not guilt. You understand? You have been freed from all guilt. So what are these other things then that we've got to grapple with? And why are they there? That's what I want to talk about a little bit. A question I want to pose is this. If it is true that God forgives us like that and we are completely cleansed, and no matter how depressed we get or how much we may fail or whatever the case is, we are guiltless before God, doesn't that mean that we can almost do as we please because we've now been set free? Doesn't that mean that we can just go and sin and not worry about it and God will still accept us? And the answer to that question is, of course, a resounding no. The Apostle Paul had someone who asked him that question in Romans chapter 6. It goes like this. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? And his answer is, by no means. Because you're a Christian, and because God has forgiven you, because God has emptied out all condemnation, so there's no condemnation left for anyone who has put their faith and trust in Jesus, because you no longer belong to the realm of guilt, it does not mean that you can just do exactly as you please. Now, many people have thought this is a very dangerous teaching, and they have not agreed with it because they've said exactly that. If you tell people that God just forgives them, there's no more condemnation, and they live forever with God's blessing on them and so on, then what that means is that they can eventually decide that they can do what they please and they can live as they want to live and still call themselves Christians. But that is completely wrong, and it's not a dangerous teaching at all for Christians. And why is it not a dangerous teaching for Christians? I'll tell you why. Because in verse 1, this is what it says. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, right? That's you and you and you and you and you if you're all Christians. There's no condemnation, no matter how you felt today, what happened today in your home or your life or whatever. There's no condemnation, there's no judgment upon you today. There's no judgment for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it is that little phrase that makes the difference between you as a Christian and people who are not Christians. Because you see, you meet lots of people who are quite nice people to know. They don't do anything terribly bad. They're just not interested in God at all. But if they are not living with their trust in the Lord Jesus to get into heaven, they're living in rebellion against Almighty God. And so what Paul is careful to say is that this condition of having no condemnation, this condition of being completely free from the judgment to come, so we don't have to fear the great judgment to come, only belongs to those who are in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? Well, it's a way of talking about becoming a Christian. It's a way of talking about being a Christian. It's a way of talking about having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's a very specific way of speaking about it. Because in Christ Jesus is a very remarkable and profound teaching. And you won't find teaching like this in any other religious book anywhere in the world. For instance, you won't find anywhere in Islamic teaching that you are in Muhammad, or Muhammad is in you, or you're in Buddha, and Buddha is in you. But with Christians, we are told that God does something mystical. He does something mysterious. He does something miraculous when we become Christians. He takes us, and in some way that we can't comprehend, he puts us into the person of Christ, and he puts the person of Christ into us. And he takes the righteousness that Christ had, the goodness that Jesus had, and he gives it to us. And he takes all the wickedness that we have, and he puts it on Christ, who took it to the cross and paid the price for it. And we are now in Christ Jesus. And that is the safeguard that keeps us from doing the things that we want to do, even though we are Christians. When you're a Christian, you still get tempted. You still get drawn aside to do things you shouldn't be doing. But when you are a Christian, you are somebody who is in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation. There's no condemnation. We are justified. We've been declared not guilty by God. And that only belongs to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, here is something that is hugely amazing for me, anyway. I don't know if it will be for you, but certainly is for me. Because in Romans chapter 5, we are told in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8, and let me just read this little section to you. It says this: "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." In other words, you know, we were still powerless to reach God, powerless to live victorious lives. We were still sinners. When we were still defeated, when we were still condemned, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't wait for us to become powerful. He didn't wait for us to become first forgiven and then die for us. No, he died for us while we were still messing around in all our sin. Then he says, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, although someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Now, this is an amazing thing, because when we think about becoming Christians, if I said to each one of you individually, "Now tell me how you became a Christian," immediately some of you will try and think about some event or day or friend that helped you, or church service, or maybe you come from a Christian home, I don't know, or maybe some book you read or somebody helped you. But what we are told is that it doesn't matter when we think we became Christians, because God thought about us long before the world was created. In Ephesians, we are told that God chose us before the world was created. And then after the world was created, time goes by and eventually your time arrives in history on earth and you were born. And you don't know it when you were born. You're playing around with your kids in the backyard, with your friends in the backyard, and then eventually school and all the rest of it. But your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but you don't belong to the Lamb yet. And so God has got to engineer and work circumstances in such a way that in his great sovereignty, he helps you to cross paths with the people who are going to make the gospel clear to you. And so in your life, you go randomly to a church service or you pick up a random book or listen to a random gospel song or whatever, and suddenly the arrow strikes home. And you say, I've become a believer. I've become a Christian. And why is that? Because God said, the time has come for me to put you into Christ. I'm going to put you into Christ. So God does not wait, you see, for you to make up your mind. God doesn't wait for you to say, okay, I'm ready now. That's how we feel from our point of view. That's the way it seems. But from God's point of view, from his great sovereign point of view, he's got it all worked out and all planned, and he's got your name put down, and there comes a moment when you and Christ have a meeting, and you may not fully understand it. But that is when God justifies you. At that moment when God has put you into Christ, he announces to you, although you can't hear his voice, says you are now free. There is no guilt anymore. You are free. So this is the basis of my assurance, you see. Why do I, Frank Retief, not go and do what I want to do? Why haven't I done that all my life? Why don't I just do, if I'm a Christian, if God is a God of mercy and just forgives me, why don't I do what I just want to do? I can't do that because I am in Christ. There are mysterious spiritual forces that work in me that I can't understand that hold me back from doing the terrible things that I could do. There are these forces within you that keep you and hold you back and urge you to do the right thing even when you don't feel like you want to do the right thing. And they hold you back from doing the wrong thing. And what is that? It's that great presence of the Holy Spirit in you who's given you the new birth in us and who's now put you into Christ. And representing the Lord Jesus, he lives within you and guides you in the ways of righteousness. So it's like vine and branches, the Lord Jesus told us. He's the vine and we are the branches. We are linked to him forever. We can never not be linked to him anymore. We are mysteriously in union with him. We don't understand it, but we know he's there. And even though we're feeling at our lowest, we feel we can't ever leave Jesus. Even the picture the Bible gives us of the body of Christ. You know, we are the body. But who is the head? It is Jesus who's the head, and we are the body, all the different pieces of the body that do things for him. But he remains the head, and he keeps everybody safe and everybody together because we're all in him. Now, what does it mean for me when the Bible tells me that I am in Christ? Or what does it mean for you? Well, what it means is this, that whatever happens to Christ happened to you. You weren't there, you didn't see it, you didn't feel it. But in spiritual terms, in terms of the way God deals with us unseen and in a spiritual, mystical manner, in the way God deals with us. When Jesus died, that means I died. Because God put me in Christ. And when Jesus arose, I arose. And when Jesus ascended, I ascended with him. So even though I'm not actually there yet, in principle I'm there. God has reserved the place there for all of those who belong to him. We are safe forever. And all the glories and the blessings that belong to those who belong to the Lord Jesus are ours already, although we don't actually often feel it or assured of it here. Because I now share his nature, which is a holy nature, and therefore I don't want to get caught up in that world out there with that underbelly, you know. I don't want to do those things. Even when I was younger, I got converted at the age of 16, I became a Christian. And at that time, I was hanging about with a group of kids that I thought were really cool guys, but they were just ordinary empty vessels, you know? That's what they were. You know what they're like, empty barrels. And I thought it was just cool because I wasn't the main guy in the group and just nice to be around with them. But when I became a Christian, I discovered, wait a minute, the noise that these guys are making is the noise of empty barrels. There's nothing there. They've got nothing. And they all thought that they were better than me because they did not get converted. And they thought I was such a fool to be converted. And so they all thought they were better off than me. But when I looked at their lives, what I saw was just an empty, empty, purposeless weakness. And I said to myself, these are not the guys. I don't want to be like them. There's nothing here that's going to make me noble, or nothing here that's going to help me, or nothing here that's going to lift me up. They're going to drag me down. I don't want to be with this lot. And I realized for the first time at that time just how different it is, where you can't explain it, but where in your heart you no longer want the things of the world the way people who aren't Christians want the things of the world. You don't want that anymore. What you want is another reality. Something genuine and authentic that resonates with who you are inside. And that is why we are safe to say that we've been forgiven by God, and it's not a dangerous thing to say that. It doesn't mean that God just allows us to do as we please. No, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and we no longer belong to that world of emptiness. Now, sometimes we may slip and fall into it for a moment, or sometimes we may make a mistake, but we're no longer part of that at all. And so therefore, I say to you again, you've got to be careful about drawing lines between your feelings. And remember that not all your feelings are guilt feelings. Now, sometimes they are guilt. If you sin against God, of course you feel guilty. And you've got to go to God and ask for forgiveness, and go to the person you've sinned against and ask for forgiveness. But you're not guilty in that legal sense where you are no longer a part of the kingdom of heaven. So there's a kind of a minor guilt that falls upon us all when we sin against God. And so we still live in this fallen world. That's why we have sadness and depression and things like that. And you won't escape all of that, nor will I escape all of that. We get hurt, we get depressed, we feel sometimes a bit destroyed inside by people. We have all kinds of feelings churning around inside of us. But we've got to separate that from that feeling of guilt, of the sinner standing before a holy God and hearing God pronounce judgment upon them, saying, you are guilty and you will be cast into hell forever. That does not belong to us anymore. That's because the Lord Jesus went to heaven for us. We believe it, and God has said to us, not guilty. He's taken the perfections of Jesus and given it to us. Do you see? So what happens if I do, as a Christian, actually sin? What actually happens if I make a mistake and I do something stupid and I feel really bad about it? You know, perhaps you went somewhere one night, you drank too much, or you did something stupid, or you said something stupid, or you lost your temper, or whatever. 100 things can go wrong in life. You know that, and I do. You have got to stop thinking of yourself as a Christian as being someone who is just merely forgiven. I'm forgiven. God has forgiven. Now, you've got to think of yourself a little bit more differently than that. You've got to remember that although it is true that you now are no longer condemned and you are forgiven, you must remember that the Holy Spirit is in you as well. So when you do commit a sin and you do something that is wrong, that does not mean that you cease to be a Christian. And that is what so many people seem to think today. You know, that, okay, I'm going to accept Jesus and I'm going to sing the songs, woo, 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 and go all the things we do, you know, and have a happy time in church, all the rest of it. But then after church, I went here and there and the next thing, and I did this and that, and now I'm not a Christian anymore. Now I'm going to go see the pastor because I've got to become a Christian again. That is not the way it works. It doesn't work like that. No. We should feel ashamed, of course, if we've sinned against God. although we are ashamed, we are not condemned in that final sense of the word. And why is that? What is the difference between the person who's a Christian who is sinning and the person who is not a Christian who is sinning? Well, when a non-Christian, person who is not a believer, deliberately sins against God, he's sinning against law. He's sinning against all of the law of the universe. He's sinning against the law of the Almighty God. He's sinning against God's demand that all knees should bow to him. He's sinning against law, and he will have to face God, or she will have to face God, on the basis of law. See? But what about the Christian? What about when we make a mistake, or we sin, or we do something stupid, and we feel ashamed of ourselves? Well, we've got to remember that believers are not like the unbeliever who's sinning against law. Believers, when we sin, we are sinning against a member of the family, our Father. We're not sinning against law, we're sinning against love. That's what we are sinning against. Because we don't have a legal relationship with God in that sense anymore, where we are judged and then have to face the judgment day, but rather our relationship with God is one of love. It's a love relationship. And because of this love relationship, we kind of hold ourselves to a higher standard. It's like a young guy and girl who are in love and they're going to get married, and then one of them, before they get married, is unfaithful to the other. What they've done is they've sinned against love. And it's almost worse than just sinning against law. Because it's so hard to put that right when every inch of you is feeling that you have betrayed every ounce of you that you know is right. Now, we sin against love, so we Christians. When we sin against God, we're sinning against love, and we feel we're sinning against a higher standard even than what the people in the world would hold. And that makes sin hateful to us. It makes it offensive. It makes it something that we should shun. And we don't ever want to do that. And if we do that, then you will know, and I know from so many people over the years where Beulah and I have been pastors, of the tremendous hurt and the pain of putting things together again when love has been betrayed, when there's been a sin against love. And so because I've got the Holy Spirit in me, because I'm in Christ, because Christ is in me, my attitude toward the world is different. It's not that I don't enjoy the world, but I don't want to be like them. I don't want to be sucked into the lies that the world tells me about who I'm supposed to be and how I'm supposed to look and what I'm supposed to do and what I'm supposed to achieve and all those things. I don't want to be like that at all. No. I'd rather be a simple follower of the Lord Jesus and be like him, who, although he was the Son of God, took a basin and washed the feet of his disciples. I'd rather be like that than to have to put together all sorts of things in my life all the time and look over my shoulder. So there's no condemnation, it says, for those who are in Christ Jesus. So to be in Christ Jesus is a very big thing. It means that you are a different person. You are not the same person as your sister or your brother who are not Christians. You're different. You've got the Holy Spirit within you. And therefore, you view the world in a different way, completely in a different way. So now that we become Christians, we see that you can't become a Christian and then not be a Christian for the 5 minutes and then you get that thing right, then you pop in again, and now you're a Christian again. Now you're born again, and you're not a Christian, but now just give me time, I'll become a Christian again. All of that is stupid, childishness. Do you see that? How the devil can deceive people and make people think that they want Christ when they don't really want him. And how they can be attracted to religion when all they want is the attention that religion can give them. No, no, we are new people. Now what has happened to us is we've been put into Christ. And because we are in Christ, we can't fall out of him again. Do you understand? So if you're in Christ, when you get home, get on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, thank you that there's no condemnation for me. And thank you for putting me into Christ and helping to live as if I was Jesus tomorrow, to the best of my ability, with your help. And pray that prayer for yourself. Okay, now I'm going to pray for a moment. And Lord, we thank you for this time together. We pray that this strange thing about being in you will hit home with us, that we'll recognize that to be in Christ is to be born again. It's to be new. It's the safeguard that keeps us from drifting away from you. We thank you, Lord, it's not just a case of no condemnation, but it's a case of a new nature being given to us. And we pray that you'll help us to live that nature. In Jesus' name, amen.